In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, before I get started today on the sermon, I want to show you the, you all obviously know that we have our daily shrine here, the picture with the little candle and a flower in front of it. That is St. Rita. But we have St. Rita with us every day during the year in the sanctuary. You see her on the right side of the altar. There's three saints. The one closest to the wall is St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. And then I think the next one is St. Hedwig. And right there with the black and white, she's a nun holding the crucifix. That is our St. Rita that we're honoring today. So we have the two candles there to honor her as well. And that's St. Rita, and we should say a prayer to her today, some other special prayers even aside from the Mass. But now I'd like to read to you, not all of the missals have the Mass of St. Rita in them, but the collect of the Mass is a very, very nice one. O God, who didst vouchsafe to confer on St. Rita so great grace that she loved her enemies and bore in her heart and on her brow the stigmata of thy love and passion, grant us, we beseech thee, by her intercession and merits, so to spare our enemies and to meditate on the pains of thy passion, that we may obtain the rewards promised to the meek and to them that mourn, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so the thought of this whole Mass is, you might say, a bit of suffering, the crown of thorns, because you notice here she's a nun, and if you ever get a chance to see the statue up close, you'll notice that under her veil there, on her forehead, there's a thorn sticking out. Well, that's because of one day as she was praying, a thorn from one of the images of our Lord's crown of thorns fell off of the statue and went right into her forehead and caused her very terrible pain. And the wound became so disgusting and let off such a horrible stench that a lot of people couldn't even stand to be around her. But as it's said in different places about St. Rita, she didn't only have the crown of thorns in her forehead, but she, more importantly, she had it in her heart. That means that she had so much suffering in her life. And what's even more interesting is that you would think the kind of suffering she had, you would think that no saint should ever have. Well, her family was pretty rotten. And you never think of a saint with a rotten family or any of that. You think of St. Therese and her saintly parents and all of her sisters who entered the convent and perhaps became saints themselves. And then you look at St. Rita, and her husband was not a very good man, nor were her two children. So I'll tell you a little bit about that today. Before she became a nun when her husband died. Sometimes you're allowed to do that. But before she was a nun, she was married. And she married when she was very young. In fact, she was some of the age of some of our choir members back there. She was 12 years old when she got married. In those days, that was allowed. And she married a man that was just the opposite of her. She was very virtuous and charitable and really a peacemaker. She always wanted to see people at peace with one another, not fighting. But the man that she married was irreligious. He didn't really care about religion. He was given to cruelty and anger. And they were married for 18 years, but it caused much suffering for St. Rita. Did you know that whenever he spoke to her, he would speak in a very nasty and cruel way. But then whenever Rita spoke, she always spoke very gently and kindly, but then it would always cause her husband to fly into a rage and scream and yell at her even more. And whatever she did only served to make him even more angry. Then he would go out and take the family money that bought food for the children and clothes for them as well. And he would gamble it all away. He would waste it and lose it. But then whenever she would take the money and spend it on things that the family needed, then she was falsely accused of being a spendthrift and not taking very good care of the money. And on top of it all, it is said that the husband even physically abused her and beat her up from time to time. So you can truly see that she suffered a lot, as if the crown of thorns were around her heart, almost suffocating it and causing such immense pain. But I ask you all this. None of you children are married that I know of, but you all have brothers and sisters and friends and everything else who many times will say very nasty and cruel things to you. And I ask you this, how do you handle that? Do you have to fly off the handle at them? If they call you a brat, do you have to call them something worse or whatever it is? Or do you, Rita-like, just listen and then say something? If anything needs to be said, say it very gently and say something kind. Because if you're one of those types that just argues back and fights back, well, you're never going to solve anything. And the fight's only going to get worse. And then before you know it, you both will really hate each other. And that's not very pleasing to our Lord, not in the least. So the key is to be a little like Saint Rita and be silent. And if you have to say anything at all, you say something very kind. Well, one day, 18 years after they were married, St. Rita's husband got murdered over something or other. I'm not sure what it was. It could have been a fight over money or something like that, but he was murdered. And then you would think that all of St. Rita's problems were over, in a sense, because her husband, who treated her so badly, was now gone. But that wasn't the case. See, she lived in the day when they had what you call a vendetta. That is, you are just expected. If someone kills a relative of yours, then it's expected that your children go and kill those murderers. And then it turns into this whole big feud of one family trying to kill the other family off. And that's what happened here. St. Rita's two sons then decided, well, we're going to go out and get vengeance. We're going to kill the man that murdered our father. And St. Rita tried and she tried to talk them out of it. She did everything she possibly could to get them to give up that foolish idea of murdering their enemy. But then finally she realized, I can't do anything to help them. And so it says that she just gave everything to God, and trusted that He would take care of it. And she was a bit like, do you know the mother of St. Louis? Queen Blanche was her name. She told her son, St. Louis, who was the king of France, she said, my son, I'd rather see you dead at my feet than to see you ever commit a mortal sin. And that's a very beautiful thought. Kind of scary, but it's a beautiful thought. That's how a mother should be. And Rita was similar. She prayed that her sons would not commit this crime of murder, and then within the year, they died. That was an answer to St. Rita's prayer, and she was thankful for it, too. They died repentant, of course, because of their mother's prayer, too, but they did not commit a mortal sin. They died, and they went to heaven, and that is obviously the important thing. Well, children, there's two lessons from this life of St. Rita. The first one is this, because all of us suffer. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes it's just being around some bratty classmate that we don't like or that they don't like us or whatever it is. We all suffer. And remember this, that no one suffers well because he's a saint. That's what we sort of think. In our own minds, we think that, well, I don't suffer well. How am I supposed to be patient with this cross? I'm no saint. That's what we always seem to tell ourselves. Well, of course we're not. That's why suffering is given to us, to make us saints. We don't suffer well because we're already a saint, but we become a saint when we learn to suffer well. That's the first lesson. Always pray to be able to suffer patiently. But the second one is this. Always pray for your enemies. Now, who are your enemies? Your enemies might be a classmate that you don't like, or it might be a brother or a sister that gets on your nerves and always takes your things away when you want to use them. It could be a teacher that you don't like, or a priest, or something else. But everyone has, most people anyway, have an enemy. And so we should always pray for them and pray for the salvation of their soul, just like Rita did as she prayed for 18 years for the conversion of her husband and then for a year for the conversion of her sons. And on both times, they all converted and saved their souls. And that's very important for us to remember, always to pray for our enemies, not to fight with them, but to pray for them, because they have souls too that need to be saved. And if you don't pray for them, who else is going to pray for them? There's not many people in this world that pray anymore, but you do. So pray for your enemies, and pray for all of the enemies of God too, that they may one day convert and see God face to heaven for face to face for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.